Mark chapter 11, Jesus Christ gives us two of the most important keys to answer prayer. So this is good for all of us, amen? Because we all know we're supposed to pray, but we all want to get our prayers answered. And Jesus here gives us two of the secrets to answered prayer. In verse 20 is where we'll begin. It says, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Very simple outline this morning. Two of the largest keys to answered prayer is faith and forgiveness. Faith and forgiveness. But our title is When You Pray. Let's pray. How we love you, Lord, and how grateful we are that we can pray, that we can access the throne of Almighty God, the Holy of Holies in heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, and thank you. And Lord, may we constantly avail ourselves of that great privilege and come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I pray you'd speak to every heart this morning through your powerful word, that you would comfort, that you would meet needs, that you would convict, whatever it might be. But Lord, that we would leave changed because of who you are and what you've given us in your word and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to be children of prayer. And so I pray that this would motivate us yet again to spend more time with you. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just four words Jesus gave there in answer to the disciples' amazement that he was able to see a fig tree withered through his spoken word. They'd already seen so many amazing things by now. And yet they were amazed that a tree would wither at the words of Jesus Christ. Remember, he came and there was no fruit on it and he cursed it. And the next day, the tree was dead. And Jesus just said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Verse 22. What an amazing statement. And yet, what a profound statement. Have faith in God. If you're here today, you're born again, you've obviously have faith in God or you wouldn't be saved. Amen? And yet Jesus is saying one of the keys to answered prayers, have faith in God. But he expounds upon that for us and says there in verse 23 that we can ask whatever we want. But did you notice he said there, and shall not doubt in his heart. So he's helping us to understand a bit what he means when he says have faith in God. He says that means that you cannot doubt God's ability to answer the prayer. But we are weak and frail and human, and often we do, don't we? Especially when it's a big request. We often, in the back of our minds, we're thinking, well, God isn't going to do this. God can't do this. And if we have that doubt, God says it will limit the answered prayers that we see in our life. We must have faith in God. Now, the parallel passage is in Matthew 21, if you turn over there, verse 22. But one of the keys to answered prayer, the largest keys to answered prayer is just believing. Believing that God is able and that God will answer your prayer. He may not answer it the way you want him to, but he will answer it. Notice Matthew 21:22, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Just that one little word, comma, believing. Let's look at another passage, Mark 9:23. a man that asked for a miracle in his own life. And Jesus said unto him, Mark 9:23, if thou canst, what? Believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I love the honesty there. I believe, Lord, but there's still a little bit of unbelief. Please help me with that. And Jesus did heal the child. But let's be honest. Sometimes there's some unbelief there. And that unbelief is the very thing that will guarantee that the prayer will not be answered. Jesus said it very clearly in many places, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then if you look at James chapter 1, where God tells us to ask for wisdom, but then he teaches us again that we cannot doubt. James chapter 1, look at verse 6. But let him ask, James 1:6, look at these next two words, in faith. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. There it is again. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So it's easy for us to just say, yeah, believe. What Jesus is teaching us is we cannot doubt him, his power, his love for us, his willingness to answer our prayers. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. God loves to answer our prayers. We are his children. But we cannot doubt. We must have faith. We must believe. Back to our passage, Mark 11. Look at verse 24. It says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray. That's our title this morning. Does it say if or when? The assumption there is that we are going to pray. Amen? Now we all know as Christians, we're commanded to pray. Why is that? Why would God even want us to pray? He already knows what we need. He knows what we want. So why bother praying? Why ask? Well, we've talked about this. God wants us to spend time with him. He created us for fellowship. You see that in the Garden of Eden. He created us to spend time with him. He created us in his image that we might have fellowship with him. He actually gets pleasure from that as our creator. But we tend to be quite selfish and we'd rather spend time with other people and not with God. And so he's commanded us to pray, to spend time with him, to worship him, to adore him, but also to ask. And not just once. He tells us the parable in Luke 18. Verse 1 says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he goes on and tells about a woman who only got the request answered because of her importunity, which is a fancy word that means she wasn't going to quit asking. Because again, why would God ask us to ask over and over and over again? Why not just ask once and be done? Because it's not so much about what we're asking for, it's about the process of the asking keeps us on our knees and at the throne. That's why we're told, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. That's why we're told in Colossians 4 to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all perseverance and supplication in the Spirit. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek his face continually. And we could go on and on the rest of the morning, couldn't we? All of these prayer verses that say, keep praying. And so Jesus didn't say, if you pray, he said, when ye pray, what does he want us to do there? Verse 24, believe. believe. The first key to answer prayer is faith. You would think that wouldn't even be needed. He shouldn't even have to tell us about it. Yes, sir.
What chapter are we in last time?
Mark 11. Yes, sir. No problem. I was thinking I gave the wrong reference there. I do that sometimes. So the first key to answer prayer, Mark 11, 24, is to believe. As he says in verse 22, have faith in God. What's the second key to answer prayer? Verse 25. And he says, I'm going to add to this. Not only do I want you to have faith, not only do I want you to believe and never doubt, but when you stand praying, forgive. Two keys. Now, there's many keys to answer prayer in the Bible, of course. Obedience, listening to His Word, and so forth. So why just choose forgiveness? Well, I personally believe because it's something that we all struggle with. And what I mean by that is unforgiveness. And yet, isn't it amazing that that's the heart of Christianity? And yet it's something that we struggle with. You would think that we shouldn't struggle with it, because if it wasn't for forgiveness, we wouldn't be going to heaven. That's what Calvary's all about, is forgiveness of sin. But forgiveness must be a part of our prayer life. Let's look at some scriptures. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Faith and forgiveness. If we could master just those two, I think we'd go a long way in our prayer life. But notice Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. When we read the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, forgive us our debts as we what? Forgive our debtors. And then Matthew 18, turn there if you would. An amazing parable. One of my favorites, where a man that owed an unpayable debt, in today's monies, probably $1 billion, and it was forgiven. And his response to that was to go and grab a guy that owed him a couple $1,000s by the throat and tell him to pay it right away, or he was going to put him in prison. After he was just forgiven this debt that no one could pay. And that's what it looks like to God when we won't forgive. He forgave us all trespasses, amen, Colossians 2:13. And when we won't forgive, it's what we look like to God. But in verse 35, at the end of the parable of Matthew 18, so likewise shall my Heavenly Father, do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother that trespasses. From your hearts, forgive. We must forgive. And again, that is the heart of Christianity. Amen? If it wasn't for forgiveness, we wouldn't even be here this morning. So we don't forgive because the person necessarily deserves our forgiveness. We forgive because that's what we're supposed to do. Did God forgive you all of your sins because you deserved it? You see, that's the thing. We must always take it back to God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness, let's look at some scriptures, Ephesians 4:32, but he always says, I want you to forgive like I forgave. And so we need to go back and say, well, how did God forgive? Well, first of all, God does not forgive based on us. He does it because of who he is. Amen? God doesn't forgive us of all of our sins because we're just so amazing. No, we're wicked sinners that deserve to go to hell. He forgives us because he's a loving God. And he loved us so much he was willing to pay the price for our sins himself. Ephesians 4:32, notice what it says. Be therefore kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even what? As God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That word as is a very important word there. He's saying, I want you to forgive as God forgave. And then it's found again in Colossians 3:13, if you want to turn over there quickly. Colossians 3:13. What it says. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There's that word as again. Even as Christ, even as God forgave, that's how I want you to forgive. But we're not very good at that, are we? Forgiving as God forgave. We like conditional forgiveness, which, by the way, is not forgiveness. And so there, in Christianity, there are no exceptions to forgiveness. We just saw it in Matthew 5. If we're the offender, we have to go and get it right. And as we're seeing here in Mark 11, if we're the offended, we have to forgive. But there are no exceptions in Christianity. Zero. And I can't tell you how many times in my 30 years of ministry I've had people say, yes, but you don't understand. And I just say, I don't have to understand. There are no exceptions. None. God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. What they did to you might be horrible. Give it to him. Forgive them. If they need dealt with, God will deal with them. And he'll do it in his way. But it's not your place to deal with them. It's not your place to exact vengeance. It's not your place to bring punishment in their lives. It's your place to forgive. And let God handle it. And he will. But that's a faith thing, isn't it? Believing that God will take care of it in his way. So Jesus says here in verse 25 of Mark 11, if ye have aught against what? Any. There it is. Any. Doesn't matter. If you have aught against any, you must forgive. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. All must be forgiven. Verse 26 of Mark 11, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. In other words, there your prayers just got hindered. So God's waiting for you to forgive. And if you won't, you know what the first thing the Holy Spirit's going to say every time you go to pray? You need to forgive. And you're going to say, well, I'm just going to ignore that for now and just pray anyway. And then the next time you go to pray, the Holy Spirit says, you need to forgive. By the way, it's not going to go away. Because he's God. And he lives in you. And he wants you to forgive. Now, there's many other keys to answer prayer, but I believe these are the two largest. Faith and forgiveness. But as I was looking at some of the others, I was thinking, okay, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not hear me. In Psalm 66:18. In other words, if there's sin in our lives that we're not dealing with, it hinders our prayers. But I think then I began to think, well, what is probably the number one sin that hinders people's prayers? It's probably unforgiveness. Why would I think that? Well, because when I look back over the number one reason why churches have problems, the number one reason why people leave churches, it's always unforgiveness. Always. And you can ask any pastor in the world this and he'll tell you the same thing. It's always unforgiveness. How can that be when we're Christians? But until we forgive, if we keep holding on to that iniquity in our hearts, it's going to hinder our prayers. Then I was thinking about another one, disobedience. Right? He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, Proverbs 28:9, even his prayer shall be abomination. So another one of the keys to prayers is obeying the word. But what's the number one area of disobedience among Christians? Oh, it's unforgiveness. refusing to let things go. And then I was thinking about, well, what about the marriage one? 1 Peter 3:7, turn over there. It's like, this is amazing. What's the number one reason marriages fail? It's unforgiveness. I mean, yeah, there's all these other reasons, but the heart of most of those reasons is unforgiveness. 1 Peter 3:7, most of you know the verse. It's the only time God uses the word hinder in prayer in the same verse. Ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. In other places, husbands are told not to be bitter against their wives. You know what bitterness is? It's unforgiveness. And so Jesus, after the disciples are amazed about a tree of all things, after he's fed 5,000 people from a boy's lunch, worked miracles with the boat and the sea, calmed the storm, they're amazed that he actually could wither a tree. And Jesus says, guys, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And then he says, if you will have faith and not doubt and believe that God can and will answer this prayer, that is one of the keys. And then he stops and says, and by the way, when you stand praying, forgive. Forgive if you have aught against any. That your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. We know we're commanded to pray all the time. We're to access the throne of God, as we're told in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. But Jesus says, when you do, have faith and forgive. I think if we could conquer just those two things, we'd go a long way in seeing our prayers answered. So I'm speculating here, but I'm just guessing that with this many people in this room, there are maybe just a couple that haven't forgiven someone something. And the Holy Spirit is right now saying, you have to forgive. How do you know if you've forgiven? What does it mean? It means that you've stopped telling others about it, first of all. Because if you're still telling others about it, you haven't forgiven, that's for sure. It means that you've stopped dwelling on it. You've given it to God. And you let God deal with it. And you've moved on with your life. But if you're allowing that unforgiveness to be that seed of bitterness in your life, maybe that's why it feels like your prayers just aren't getting through. Because God is waiting for you to forgive as he forgave. Amen? As Christ forgave. When Jesus hung on that cross and looked over the crowd that had just nailed him to the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. Of all the things he could say, is that what we would say to a mob that would attack us and punch us and hurt us and put a crown of thorns on our head and whip us with a cat of nine tails? Would we in turn say, Father, forgive them? For they know not what they do. But that's what Stephen did as he was being stoned. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He wanted to go to heaven with a clear... He knew he was on his way because God allowed him to get a glimpse. And he wanted to leave earth with a clear conscience. Amen? Isn't that good? Last thing he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And then he said, I see Jesus. And he went to heaven. Someday we'll get to say, thank you, Stephen, for that example. We'll be able to look at Jesus and say, thank you for dying for me and rising again for me and giving me eternal life and forgiving me all trespasses. Thank you. But while we're down here on earth, Jesus says, that's something I definitely want you to emulate in my life. It's this matter of forgiveness. So faith and forgiveness. When ye pray, he said, have faith in God. When ye pray, forgive if you have aught against any. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful again for your precious word and for reminding us about these simple and yet profound truths this morning. And I pray we'll get a hold of these great truths, Lord, and never doubt and not to harbor any unforgiveness in our lives. Lord, I pray that this would be real and that we would be responsive to the Holy Spirit. Thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. We love you. And have your will and way as we sing our invitation hymn. Lord, for someone in our service not born again, I pray today they'll realize they must be born again. And they'll come to Christ. The rest of us, again, may we be honest with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.